WBAIN, New York. Stick it in your ear.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Welcome to La Voz Latina. I'm Daniel Vila, and we just heard Helen Hume's vintage about 1958 in Wuja Makuja, Helen Hume's. And if you have not heard of Helen Hume's, please check her out. Go on Google, the internet, YouTube, Helen Hume's. Without her, there would not have been the Supremes and all those female powerful singers of the 1950s. She was a pace setter back in the late 40s and in the 1950s. Helen Humes, Wuja Makuja. And again, Daniel Vila here for La Voz Latina on WBAI 99.5 FM. Today's program, we hope you will find it informative and also interesting. We'll have first be listening to a conversation we had with Michael Caine. Michael Caine is head of New York Teachers for Choice, and he will be talking about the recent legal court victories here in New York City regarding the vaccine mandates that is forcing people to take vaccines against their will. There was a significant victory this week. He will also be talking about something which is really very significant and should concern us all, how COVID is being used as an excuse to oppress people in Australia, and specifically the Aboriginals, the native peoples who had been there many thousands of years before the Europeans arrived, and how, you know, massively, overwhelmingly in Australia, the Aboriginal people are opposed to the vaccinations, forced vaccinations, and they are being arrested, followed, police go into their homes. I mean, literally break into people's homes looking for vaccine papers. If you ain't got them, watch out. You may be dragged off to jail. That's the way things are going in Australia. And it's we should learn from that example, because this may be the route that this whole forced vaccination strategy is going to be taken globally. So we'll begin with Michael Caine, and then we will move on to a talk we had with Jessica Coco regarding the role of the World Economic Forum in developing all of these strategies to try to take advantage of the COVID pandemic in order to establish a more efficient ruling capitalist system globally. Okay, so let's start with our friend Michael Caine.
Okay, and so we do have on the line with us Michael Caine, as I like to say, the real Michael Caine. People doing searches for Michael Caine, this Michael Caine of Teachers for Choice, sometimes come up with the other Michael Caine, the actor, the very well-known, excellent actor. But Michael Caine, I think, eventually will be better known than the actor. Michael Caine, welcome to La Voz Latina, and you are the main leader of Teachers for Choice. You have been very active in defending the rights of not only teachers but all humans who are opposed to vaccine mandates, and you have some good news for us. But before you give us the good news, if you could explain the gist of it, the basics of your views and why vaccine mandates are undemocratic.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me back. Always appreciate you giving your platform to us to get this message out. So I'm a New York City public school teacher, special education teacher for over 14 years. I am now on unpaid leave. The city refuses to allow me back in my job because I have declined COVID vaccination, and I applied for a religious exemption to vaccination. They did not accept my application. I appealed. They denied it. And they actually said to my face, the New York City attorney said, well, the Pope recommends vaccination, and the Dalai Lama is himself vaccinated. Therefore, Mr. Caine should be vaccinated. And they said that because I grew up in a household of Christianity and Buddhism. There's a problem with that. That's highly illegal in this country. You know, America has a lot of faults, and we have a history of genocide and racism and segregation. But we have some good things here, too. And one of those things is we are a principle of religious freedom. We were founded on a principle that there are no heretics, that no man or institution speaks for any other man or woman and their relationship with their God. So we're suing New York City because their process is completely illegal on multiple illegalities. I just named one there. And we were losing in the lower courts, and we got a lot of press coverage as we were losing. You know, Pix 11, ABC, NBC, Fox, everyone was there when we were losing in the courts. Oh, but we're not losing anymore. We're winning. We actually won an injunction, which is like a restraining order, where they said, you have to allow these plaintiffs, there's 14 of us, to undergo a new process to apply for their religious exemption again. So New York City has admitted that the process they put us through was unconstitutional. So this is a very big deal. So we have gotten that admission. We went to court again on November 22nd, and we are waiting to hear if we can get any further relief. Because so far the city is saying, well, we'll let these 14 plaintiffs go through a new process. But there's actually at least 1,500 people, at least, who were illegally denied a religious exemption process in New York City. So our attorneys are arguing that this relief must be granted to a greater number of people. We haven't heard from the court yet if it will grant a larger relief or not. We suspect this coming Monday. We suspect the courts will have a hearing, a verdict, an announcement of a decision We hope they do, because as of November 30th or December 1st, somewhere in there, the city's going to start firing us, right? I'm on unpaid leave right now, but the city is getting ready to fire. They call it that we're voluntarily separating. They're just calling it all this nonsense to avoid saying that they're firing people over their religious beliefs. So we are doing well in court. We don't know exactly what is going to come to us. And we have not ruled out going to the Supreme Court, which we could possibly do if the courts we're currently in don't bring a truly just verdict and decision to us. So that's about where our court cases are at right now. I recommend people stay tuned to teachersforchoice.org, teachersforchoice.org for updates. We put the updates at the top of the page, and if you don't see anything there, you can always click on updates and just scroll through. You get all the most recent posts from us by doing that.
And it is a very rich website in terms of information also. I have to say that it is very thorough, it is well organized, it has videos, it has articles, it has links to other sources and information. And so I strongly recommend also that people, especially people that are trying to defend your rights, your human rights, in terms of forced vaccinations, to please check out again, Michael Caine. What is the website again?
It is teachersforchoice.org, teachersforchoice.org. I'd also recommend people go check out worldwidewalkouts.org. That's a great site that I've been working in conjunction with, because we're continuing to tell people to walk out of everything, walk out of your job, walk out of your school, walk out of a society that is telling you you don't belong in the society if you don't bow to their one-size-fits-all medical mandates. So definitely check out worldwidewalkouts.org as well, too, because a lot of the rallying and demonstrations, protests that we're doing and that we're supporting are published there, and also they're published there for across the country and across the world. We are not alone by any means. We are not alone. There's uprisings happening everywhere. People who are saying no to these draconian medical mandates.
Michael, that is very true what you say, and I have been shocked how the U.S., and I always phrase it this way, the U.S. media, it's doing its job magnificently well. Absolutely, practically no information about the millions of people out on the streets throughout Europe and other parts of the world protesting these vaccine mandates. And I saw an extremely spooky video yesterday of Austria in Europe, where their police, there are hundreds of police walking all over the city, the capital especially, this was focusing on, and they would just be going up to people randomly, all ages, all sizes, forget it, and going up in a very intimidating, powerful way. And if you don't have your papers, you either get fined or you get locked away. You get taken away in a police car. And I said, is this for real, man? Is this the point that Europe is going to? But I think there's even more concerning or worrisome news coming out of Australia. And you have a little bit of information on that.
Well, yes. Yeah, so I just caught wind of a video that's running around social media of indigenous peoples from Australia that are telling their experience. And basically what they're saying is that the Australian government is coming at them with these forced vaccine mandates in such fascist, draconian style, even more so than they're doing to the whole country. Australia and the area of Melbourne especially is locked down consistently, and sometimes unvaccinated people can't leave their homes at all except for work and to purchase food. But the indigenous natives in Australia are saying what's happening to them is even worse, the way the government is coming down on them and coming at them. And these indigenous people are putting out a call to the international community saying, we need help from you. They're saying the indigenous community needs to come together and they need to stick together against this. They're saying this isn't new. They're saying this isn't new. Colonialism has been ravaging indigenous people across the world for decades and centuries. They're just using the guise of public health at this point to play out an old script that we've seen all across the world happening to original peoples. These people are saying to the youth, listen to your elders. We've been here before. We've been through this. We're here to you to protect us and to protect you. And they're telling people to say no. You know, you have the right and you have the ability to say no, even if it is scary. So we just posted that at Teachers for Choice in our updates. We have the video linked, which I believe is on Instagram right now, but it's kind of going viral. I think it's making its way around the internet quite a bit. And we pulled out some of the most important quotes, what we felt were very important quotes, and just posted them on our site. So you can hear these people speak for themselves. You can hear them tell you their lived experience right now in a country, Australia, that is really just a fascist biosecurity state country at this point. And Daniel, you and I were talking off air that, you know, the worry is this might be a glimpse of the future that we're going to have, that the powers that be want to see for America and for New York, and definitely for New York City with all the segregation over these vaccine passports that we're seeing now in the city.
And it may be just like it is being used right now in certain parts of the world, not only Australia and Austria, a way of just ramping down on the opposition of people who have different views of those of the people who are in power. And it is very, very concerning. Regarding Australia, it's almost, you know, it's ironic because Australia had its origins as a prison colony.
Yes.
I believe it was called originally New South Wales. And then, of course, things change here and there, but it hasn't changed anything for the original inhabitants of that country continent, the Aboriginal people, and they are suffering very much. So then you say that there will be a demonstration in solidarity. Where would that be on Monday?
Yeah, well, so no, not this Monday. Right. This Monday, we're hoping for a verdict from the court, for a decision from the court.
Right.
But in support of Australia, we will be rallying on December 4th
right
at the Australian Consulate in New York City. New York Freedom Rally has done this before. They've already gone there to voice their concerns. But this December 4th day is important because we're doing it internationally. It's going to be across the country. It's going to be across the world. There are multiple Australians who are reaching out saying, we can't help ourselves anymore. We need the international community to help us. That's how bad things have gotten there. I know one noted activist was speaking to some friends of mine at Children's Health Defense to do a broadcast on CHDTV to tell about what was going on. And she said, well, I'd like to do that, but by the time we get to that date, I'll probably be in hiding by then. So this is what's going on. This is the real deal that's happening in the world today. And if you think it's not going to come to you, I don't think we could be that confident. So stay tuned to teachersforchoice.org. December 4th is going to be a day of solidarity for Australia and for bringing freedom back to Australia. And we'll be making those announcements at our website.
And the Australian consulate, I believe it's on 42nd Street, I believe on 150 East 42nd Street. That's what I have seen. So 150 East 42nd Street. And that'll be at what time, Michael Caine?
We're still working out all the details, so just stay tuned to teachersforchoice.org. We're going to have all the details out early in the upcoming week.
Okay, Michael, could you give us we have about 5 more minutes left, a brief summary of what you have seen nationwide going on and how this struggle is going in terms of defending people's rights to not be vaccinated if they so desire?
Yeah, absolutely. So it really seems like the biggest assault is on New York and California, right? That's where we're seeing just states that are fully controlled by Democrats right now. And we're seeing Democratic leadership really looks almost identical to Republican leadership from 30 years ago. I mean, it's actually bizarre to see what's happened. And not all Democrats. There are some good Democrats out there for sure that I work with that vote the right way, you know, that support civil liberties and freedom. But not the leadership. The Democratic leadership has really gone to the pit. It's horrible. So we're seeing this New York and California attack that's happening. And some people smarter than me that I talk to, they feel like the goal is to take down New York and take down California with COVID mandates, where there will be forced COVID vaccination on people for your jobs, to go out in society, for children to go to school with this approval for 5 years old and up now for a disease that hardly impacts these children. And if they can get New York and California to fold, some people believe they'll go after Texas next, and then they go after the whole country. So it's really important that New York and California holds the line, pushes back, and stops what's happening as much as possible. There's resistance all throughout the country. You know, there's resistance in Chicago. There's resistance in states and cities everywhere of all sorts. But people don't know about it so much and don't hear about it so much because, as you said, the mainstream media is not reporting on it. That's one of the reasons I think worldwidewalkouts.org is a good site to stay in on, because they're getting up all the different photos, videos, testimonies of people that are protesting all throughout this country right now over this. And one last announcement, the first day of the legislative session in Albany is coming up January 5th. You can have these tyrants like de Blasio or Cuomo or Hochul come out with their crazy mandates. Tyrants have mandates, but laws are forever. And people really need to remember that. These mandates are not law yet. But when the session comes back in Albany, there is an assemblyman named Jeff Dinowitz, who's already put out there he wants to get rid of all religious exemptions to vaccination in all of New York State. And he wants to force every child to get a COVID vaccine to attend school. We need to stop this. We need to send a clear message. We're not going to allow this to happen. So looking forward, we're going to be getting buses. We're going to be getting people up to Albany on the first day of the legislative session, which is January 5th, because we're fighting for New York City. We're fighting for New York State, but we're fighting for the whole country. We need to hold the line here in New York forkers, but for the entirety of the country, too. So we've gone over a lot in a short time here, Daniel. You know, so I don't think everyone is going to remember every single thing we just said. But if you stay in touch with us at teachersforchoice.org, we keep putting up what's most important on a daily basis. So that way you don't have to remember it. You just got to tune in to us every day.
And we have been speaking with Michael Caine of Teachers for Choice. Michael, it has been very interesting, very enjoyable speaking with you. Every time we speak, you have given me a lot of new information and a lot of hope. And you also give hope to many, many of our listeners. It is incredible, Michael, that whenever we have you on the program or wherever we have people talking about this matter of the forced vaccinations, it is incredible the amount of calls and people that, in fact, I've even met people on the street and some of the demonstrations you have organized with which another point I should make is there have been thousands and thousands and thousands of people taking part in these demonstrations. And I just laugh when I see there was one or two channels that covered a recent demonstration. And I like the way they said they were a couple of hundred people. But of course, you know, that's the glimpse they give you. But in any case, it is so nice to have you on La Voz Latina, and hopefully we will speak here again.
Daniel, thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to come back again.
Warm embrace. Thank you so much, Michael. Okay.
Where did you go last night? When the moon was bright, where did you go last night? When you were out of sight, you were wrong to be gone for too long. I asked that Mary Lou, She didn't have a clue. But when I went to her place, she had a smile on her face. You were wrong to be gone for too long. Well, you're fine looking, babe, sweet as can be, but you just been cheating on me. Where did you go last night? When the moon was bright, where did you go last night? You were out of sight. You were wrong to be gone for too long. Well, I'll never, ever trust you again for all the love that I felt. Here you come kissing and hugging again. Baby, you make me melt. Where did you go last night? When the moon was bright, where did you go last night? When you were out of sight, did you go last night when you were out of sight? Where did you go last night when the moon was bright? You were gone for too long, and that is wrong.
Yes, indeedy, that was Bola with Pat Rayford. Bola with Pat Rayford, the song is Where Did You Go Last Night? And they are African, well, they're black, but they're recording from Britain. That song is actually recorded from in Britain last year in 2020. I do not know if they are originally from the United States, but it's a cute little song. Let's move on now to a talk we had with Jessica Coco, Sister Jessica Coco.
So, Jessica Coco, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, welcome to La Voz Latina, Jessica.
Thank you so much.
And Jessica, again, for our listeners who do not know who you are, could you please tell us what organization you're affiliated with?
Yes, I'm affiliated with Stop the Lockdown, and you can find us at stopthelockdown.wordpress.com.
And you're also a member of the Independent Workers Party or movement or something?
Movement. Independent Workers Movement.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. And so, okay, Jessica, as we have been noticing around the globe, and again, and as I say many, many times, the U.S. media has been doing its job magnificently, ignoring most of these protests going on worldwide. Not all the media. Interestingly, a very conservative magazine called Foreign Policy, which has the ear of the State Department, of course, in July. And Foreign Policy magazine only comes out six times a year. In July, their star, article was on the fact that, as they say, the pandemic will spur new protests throughout Latin America. And this already recognizing the fact that there have been dozens of protests practically in every country in Latin America. And I'm from Puerto Rico. And in Puerto Rico, there have been huge protests over the last year and a half. But not only that, in Latin America, in Europe, in Africa, the Middle East, South Asia, in Australia, even New Zealand, quiet old Australia and New Zealand. Massive protests have been going on worldwide, and I believe, my opinion is that this has to do with the non-mentioned elephant in the room, that is the global depression number two, and also I think to an extent to the fact that the World Economic Forum is pushing for revamping of the capitalist system globally, and this is the result. People are resisting whatever changes are being imposed on them.
Well, I think what happened was initially it was just a shock to everyone when there was this whole media campaign with COVID-19. People had no idea what was going on, what was taking place. But if you look, Monday, March 16th, which, by the way, is known as Bloody Monday, that's the day that the stock market collapsed by 3,000 points. And that's when the lockdowns and curfews are instituted. So I think that people were blindsided from the fact that the depression, the second Great Depression, had hit because the powers that be try to use COVID as a way to divert attention so that people would not organize. Unlike the 2008 Great Recession, where the government was honest about it, not just the U.S., but Europe, and you had major protests. So it was a way to undermine that, and that's what's happening. I mean, people are, they're losing their jobs, nothing to do with COVID. They're losing their jobs because the economy has collapsed. And they're seeing the lockdowns for what they are, which is a way to institute global governance. And you can see that on the World Economic Forum site. I mean, they talk about this. In fact, the Great Reset, although Klaus Schwab wrote his famous book, The Great Reset, COVID-19, last year, the fact is that he's the originator of this idea of the Great Reset, and it started in 2018 during that economic crisis.
Oh, I didn't know that. What did you say? In 2018, he was already pushing for the Great Reset?
Not 18, 2008, during the Great Recession.
Good Lord, I had no idea about that, Jessica.
Yes, he does. And in the 600-page report, which you can find on the World Economic Forum website, he talks about the importance of transforming global governance. And he talks about the need to save capitalism from a future depression, which is where we are at now. What is interesting is what he discusses will be this global governance, specifically a merger of the corporations and the state, corporatism. What is that? Well, Mussolini discussed the merger of corporations and the state and called that fascism.
Very good.
Here we have Klaus Schwab discussing the need for neo-fascism. And speaking about, let's go now forward, right, into who Klaus Schwab is, right? Klaus Schwab is the son of Marianne Rothschild of the famous Rothschild Banks. Very, very fascinating, and certainly not a coincidence at all. So it comes from a major banking firm. He is talking about the importance of finance capital, specifically central bankers, and the fact that they should be in control of a world government. Let's go forward to to the book that was actually published, which you can buy, The Great Reset, right?
Right. And again, the book was more recently published, you say, in 2018?
No, that was published in 2020.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But some interesting quotes just from this book alone. He talks about, he says, rather than fixing market failures, we need to take advantage of the next economic crash.
Right.
That's on page 92.
Right.
He goes on, that finance capital should not be letting the crisis go to waste and must make good use of the pandemic. He admits the consequences of COVID-19, in quotes, in terms of health and mortality, will be mild compared to previous pandemics. Well, if it's mild, then why the necessity then to institute lockdowns? Well, he says it. It's to, again, page 33, to institute a global surveillance network and system.
So he uses those actual words, huh?
Correct.
Holy crap.
What is really interesting, by the way, speaking about the World Economic Forum, by the way, he has an interesting, there's an interesting article there about the necessity of building back better to save capitalism. I say this because there are people on the right who believe that build back better is communism or socialism. No. Go to the World Economic Forum. Very, very clear. It is to save capitalism. The Great Reset is to save capitalism. We live in a capitalist state, okay? The reason why I think many people on the right do not know what the difference is between capitalism, communism, and socialism is they read misinformation by the CIA. But if you go on the World Economic Forum, you will see exactly what these definitions are. And speaking about the website, very fascinating, by the way, because...
Again, you're talking about the World Economic Forum, which incidentally, it's interesting, Jessica, and we're speaking with Jessica Coco. I've had a couple of times where I've spoken with people and they think that the World Economic Forum and the International Monetary Fund is the same thing, and they're completely different organizations, whereas the World Economic Forum tends to be more of a leader, more of developing ideas and trying to push those ideas and implant them around the world, is from the sense that I get.
Oh, correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. But interesting, by the way, if you go into the World Economic Forum site, if you go into a tab on the upper left, if you hit the tab that reads platforms, and you scroll down, and then you double-click on COVID action platforms, double-click on that, then you scroll down to get the latest insights into COVID-19, and you press the enable map to open, you actually will see what looks like an eye with veins. And if you hit global governance, you'll see very interesting things like 5G, climate change, population reduction, AI, financial and monetary systems reset.
AI, for those who do not know, refers to artificial intelligence, I believe, right?
Correct. And in fact, that's a big issue that no one is discussing, by the way. Along with the digital currency, which is coming, and why we have to have a digital currency. The reason for the digital currency is because the dollar and also the euros, I mean, these different currencies are now worthless. So their purpose is to institute a new digital currency from the beginning. Of course, there's also the issue of a surplus population. What are you going to do with the surplus population of unemployed being created by AI, robotics, and mechanization? How are we going to go forward with this? And of course, we know historically where it goes. If you look at the 1929 Great Depression, where did that lead? It led to the major bankers. What do? They put fascists in power, fascist dictators. Whether it was Horthy in Hungary, Hitler in Germany, Franco in Spain, and the list goes on. I mean, Salazar in Portugal. So you have these central bankers that decided that people are going to at some point not tolerate a capitalist system where they're unemployed and they're starving. And as they're hungry, food prices are rising because less food is being grown as less people have money to buy food.
Right.
Which, by the way, you see what's happening right now. The food prices are going up. And also war, because what do you do with the army of surplus unemployed? You make them an army of employed, and they'll kill each other to reset the system. And what's interesting is that no one has discussed the relationship of the, for example, the British bankers who were very much behind putting Hitler in power, and the U.S. who put fascists in power in Ukraine in 2014. And they put a whole bunch of fascist dictators in Eastern Europe. I mean, just recently, speaking about war, Biden introduced, just in September of this year, the Indo-Pacific Alliance with the U.K. and Australia. Right now, speaking about... a very strategic area. I'm not sure if you heard, but there were protests in the Solomon Islands.
No, I didn't. I did not.
Oh, okay. So earlier this week, there were major protests in the Solomon Islands. People, the native people, the indigenous people, are against the mandatory vaccines. They are calling it a depopulation program to kill indigenous people. And the Australian government, remember, this is a sovereign country.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, in Australia, absolutely. Yes. We had spoken with this. You confused me with the Solomon Islands. I didn't realize that they were part of Australia, my ignorance. Yeah, absolutely.
Right,
yes.
They're a sovereign nation. Just like the Northern Territories of Australia, right. Which, by the way, there's a complete media blackout. And by media blackout, I mean people who are Aborigines cannot call outside. No one knows what is happening in these Aboriginal communities. No one is able to make a phone call. No one is able to use a cell phone. There is no telecommunications. No one knows what is taking place there. But in the case of the Solomon Islands, we do know that Australia has invaded, and you have to ask, why are they there? Are they really there because they care that people in the Solomon Island are protesting? No, it's because, if you remember your World War II history, where were the major campaigns fought in the Pacific? That's right, the Solomon Islands, if you haven't guessed that. So very, very frightening.
Well, you know, Jessica, you mentioned...
I mean, China's being surrounded by Navy bases, U.S. Navy bases, U.S. naval ships, and then there's bases, military bases surrounding China, Russia as well. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, in the past, yes, going along this line of the military bases, in the past, there has been established a very clear pattern established that whenever there is a global depression, in a matter of 3 or 4 or 5 years, there's a global war to kind of end the depression, more or less, and also end the excess populations, which you were mentioning a little while ago. And definitely, yes, please continue, because this that you mentioned regarding China, the increased tensions with China, and also the increased tensions with Russia, you would figure right after the fall of the Soviets that the United States would be happy with a capitalist Russia, but quite the contrary, what many people thought would happen has happened. That is that Russia, leaving socialism behind, has turned into a very powerful capitalist country, investing right here in this hemisphere, in the Western Hemisphere, and that is a threat also to U.S. And European capitalists.
Well, I mean, let me see, how can I... Yes, I mean, you do have, of course, intra-imperialist rivalries. I mean, there's no doubt of that, right? But the issue also is that Russia itself, the reason you have a system where you have oligarchs in power, right, these big cartels, the only reason they're in power is because people fear U.S. invasion, and that's what keeps them in power. So you have a situation where the Russian government is not too friendly to its own people. And you know, Russia also will suffer from the depression. I mean, this depression is worldwide. In 1929, because the Soviet Union was a truly socialist country, it had no private banking firms. There was no outside markets. And so there was no depression in the Soviet Union. But today, we don't have any socialist nations. So there's no escape from this depression. Even China. Whatever people talk about China, China is not a socialist country, and they may have a party called the Communist Party of China, and that doesn't make it communist. The fact of the matter is that China is a capitalist nation, an imperialist nation, just like the U.S. that uses the IMF. They too do the same thing. They go into African nations that they lend them money, useless, basically worthless yuan. But then they need to be repaid with real collateral, which is mines, ports, croplands. So,
sure enough.
I think that's discussed.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I have pity for those people. I consider myself a Marxist, a socialist. I want the working class to take power. And, you know, I consider ridiculous whenever I hear some people who consider themselves socialists defending China as a socialist or as a communist country. You know, if that's socialism, I'd rather live in bourgeois capitalism, because it is not socialism. It's even worse than bourgeois capitalism. You have absolutely no freedom of anything under that system, where it's totally controlled. Forget about the party. It's not even a party. It's a very small clique of corrupt corporations which control China, and of course they use the beautiful idea, the wonderful ideas proposed by Karl Marx, Engels, and followed up by Lenin and the Bolsheviks, but they use those ideas to manipulate millions of people in China and throughout the world, and make many people believe that they're socialist. It is actually a very corrupt capitalist system. You know, Jessica, we got only about 5 more minutes left. Many people today look at the mass demonstrations, for example, takeover of automobile plants, you know, Ford, Chrysler, whatever, back in the 19th, during the period of the Great Depression, and some people say, you know, that I've spoken with about this Great Depression war, and they say, yeah, but you don't have the millions of workers going out on strike and going out on protests in the U.S. as you had in the Great Depression, in the previous one. And I point out that something that I learned from you, actually, once when we were talking on the phone, that it took about 3 years before people started protesting during the first Great Depression. That is, the Depression didn't start in 1929, October, and the protests were going on in November or even in 1930. It took several years before the masses of working people in the U.S. realized that they were living under a Great Depression, and I believe that's what's going on now. We see some protests and definitely an increase in labor organization, which is a good thing, but I think the American working class is still thinking that with Joe Biden putting in trillions of dollars into the economy to spur the initiatives, that this is going to solve the problems that we have out there.
Look, the fact of the matter is, well-fed people don't make good revolutionaries. The reason why other countries and other nations are fighting so strongly, for example, especially in Africa, look how many leaders were murdered in Africa, right? Tanzania, Ivory Coast, Burundi, Swaziland, was because, people think that these vaccines are free. They're not free. People are in these African countries, they have to buy these vaccines at the cost of crops. So people are starving right now in South Africa, for example, because instead of that grain staying in South Africa to feed people in South Africa, it's being traded for vaccines. I mean, this is something called vaccine imperialism. This is the reason why there's these countries fighting back, because the workers in these countries are hungry. We're not hungry yet. I mean, people are still somehow surviving with Social Security, which is not just feeding the elderly, but also their children, maybe, and grandchildren. There are people still on unemployment. But at some point, that's going to run out, just like people's savings began to run out as the 30s was continuing and the Depression was getting worse. So hopefully people will at this point realize that COVID is really just a diversion at this point. They should realize that. It's a diversion from Great Depression, too. I mean, anyone who thinks that it's a ridiculous idea that you're going to wear a mask and that's going to protect you. I mean, if you can't breathe, right, because you're rebreathing in toxins and breathing in synthetic toxic material, I mean, it's irrational to think that that is healthy. Nothing to do with health. It's about promoting fear. Anyone who thinks that quarantines work, that's ridiculous. Who needs to grow your food? Who is making your clothes? These things do not work in fact, there is no real pandemic at all if you think about this. I mean, the number of people who died in 2020 was no different, really, from 2019. So I think people really need to rethink that they've been taken advantage of by their governments, and they need to, at this point, organize.
Jessica, you mentioned something very important there, and I think as we close this interview, as you know, you mentioned very, very important information there. The pharmaceutical industry, people do not realize, they think that, you know, that the vaccines are free. First of all, they're not. Even in the U.S., everything that you see out there that says free, actually the government is paying for it, which really means that the working people who pay taxes in this country, more than even the big corporations, right? The working people in this country are paying for every single one of those vaccines that are being given out there so-called free. They're not free. And in fact, these big pharmaceuticals invested some $200 million over the last 2 years in U.S. politicians. As a result of that, they've made back in less than a year some $20 billion, with a B, $20 billion. But what's really a super crime is that in Latin America, they are actually taking over public and doing it throughout the world, like you mentioned, but specifically in Latin America, there's a very good article which I would love people to read. It's called Held to Ransom: Pfizer Plays Hardball in COVID-19 Vaccine Negotiations with Latin American Countries. And this very good article, which is in a publication on the internet, anybody could read it. It's StatNews.com. And it explains, and we cannot go into it now, but you know, you reminded me when you mentioned this about the vaccines not being free, that the big pharma, all of these pharmaceuticals, they're going into Latin America and Africa and so on. In exchange for the vaccines, they're demanding control of the public sectors. They're even demanding control of military bases in some cases. We cannot, again, it's very, very complicated and very deep, and we'll have to speak with you about this in another interview. But these vaccines are not being given away, and it's not even the government that is paying for them. Actually, the government is having to give away to Big Pharma their very large public sector and also even lands and also mineral deposit areas to big pharmaceuticals.
But there's another point, just very briefly, because we're coming to the end, that no one is discussing is, for example, why does an EpiPen cost $700 in the U.S. or insulin? This is not, so think about this. The EpiPen, insulin, these necessary drugs cost $700. Evidently, this government is not concerned about health at all. You have people in Flint, Michigan, who are drinking water that's polluted to this day. So they have no money to clean up the water, right? They have no money to pay for insulin for a child who's diabetic with type 1 diabetes. But suddenly they have money for these vaccines.
Right.
What is it? What's so important about these vaccines? And, for example, another thing no one is discussing. So these vaccines, for example, contain Sincitin 1, and this is essential to human and primate reproduction. And they were letters that were sent to Pfizer to ask why there were products, right, this specific product that is added to the vaccines, which causes sterility. I mean, so what are these vaccines about? Then there's also the issue of biometrics. They're discussing next year adding microchips to the vaccines to give to children. So children are going to be chipped in Israel. They're going to be chipped in Australia as well. So, I mean,
and before, of course,
we know 18,000 people have officially died as well, by the way. What vaccine has had so many deaths? I mean, the 76 flu shot, the infamous swine flu shot, 50 people officially died. It was removed. 2009 swine flu, 50 people died officially. It was removed from the market. 18,000 plus people,
yeah,
and it's not been removed. I mean, come on.
Yep.
And they tell you that everyone has to be vaccinated. Why? It's irrational. If you're vaccinated, then you're protected, supposedly, right? So then, why does anyone else need to take the vaccine to protect you? So if the vaccine works, someone else needs to take it. And if the vaccine doesn't work, then why are you taking it?
And we have to be closing up, Jessica, but we should all focus also on the fact that all of these steps being taken regarding vaccines, forced vaccinations, etc., it's all being coordinated, and people have to check out into it, I believe, and read into it. But it's nice. As you were saying in the introduction, the World Economic Forum has been pushing for this agenda, and using all of this, like you stated, they're going to be implanting what they call the fourth economic revolution, which is also, you know, making everything digital and virtual, and like you say right now, biometrically having every single human being on the planet registered. before they go to Mars and the moon, of course, to colonize. So this is a very, very deep, very complicated issue. We have 30 seconds left to you. 1 minute left. 1 minute left. Do you want to round up the thoughts that you've explained, Jessica, please?
Well, like I said, we definitely need to organize. Workers need to organize, and also we need to stop the lockdowns and the mandatory vaccines. We have rallies every Sunday, Union Square Park, 14th Street, 2 o'clock on Sundays. You could check us out at stopthelockdown.wordpress.com.
Okay, Jessica Coco, thank you so much for being with us on La Voz Latina, and hope to speak with you soon again.
Thank you so much.
Very good, Jessica Coco. Thank you so much. And to all our listeners, again, this is La Voz Latina on WBAI. I'm Daniel Vila. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that the program today has been informative. And hopefully we'll catch you in one or two more weeks. Warm embrace.
Good afternoon. You're tuned to 99.5 FM, WBAI in New York. La Voz Latina with Daniel Vila came to you on recording over listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio WBAI in New York. Coming up at 3 o'clock is Concepor Latino with Nando Alberici and Maria Barreto. Stay tuned.
Extinction Diaries. The giant manta ray could be called the eagle of the sea with their magnificent wings and aerial-like maneuvers both under and over the waves. Nearly 15 feet wide, the magnificent ray is only capable of giving birth every 3 to 5 years and rarely births two babies at the same time. This slow reproductive rate cannot keep up with their slaughter, and the giant manta ray is being removed from the international vulnerable list and added to the endangered species list. They may not be on that list long because oceans have reached a catastrophic tipping point. Manta itself tastes bad to humans, but they are netted, cut up as bait, then used to catch sharks and other animals. Every year, hundreds and even thousands of mantas are killed for their gill rakers, which serve to filter plankton, their principal food source. There's no proof that the gill rakers provide any benefit as medicine, yet that is why Asian markets have them in such demand. And just like other filter-feeding fish and whales, pollution like plastic, especially microplastics, are taking devastating tolls inside their bodies. There is literally no place on Earth now safe for the giant manta ray. My name is Cheyenne Sunthunder, and this is Small World Radio Production.
Join us on November 26th to December 12th at Cinema Village, Sinopolis, and virtually as we celebrate 29 years of the ADIFF, the film festival that always brings you great films about people of color all over the world. Discover over 70 entertaining and revealing fiction and documentary films, including 38 world, U.S., and New York premieres. The African Diaspora International Film Festival from November 26th to December 12th. For tickets and schedule, go to nyadiff.org or call 212-864-1760. That's 212-864-1760. Enjoy your world on the big screen.
Activist Sharon Salam speaks out for WBAI.
We should be moving forward, collecting the funds that we need to make sure that our station is whole and that it can do its job as it has done for me in the past. When all of this stuff happened to me many, many years ago in 1989, I didn't get very many opportunities to speak out in regards to the wrong that was done to my son and the other boys in the Central Park jogger case, as it was called at that time. Very few people stepped up. Yes, Like It Is was there. WBAI was there. And a few others. Majority of those stations that let people like myself speak and tell them what was going on the other side, those stations are gone. If we lose WBAI, where do we go to get our words out? Where do we go if you've been arrested unjustly? Where do you go if someone's taken your children unfairly? Where do you go to seek justice? We must keep this station alive. Yeah. Alive. WBAI.
No justice.
This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.
I love New York.
We love New York.
We've been stuck inside our homes
while our everyday heroes have been working overtime.
For New York to reopen.
And stay open.
We all need to do our part.
And show that we care.
Look, man.
I wear a mask to protect you.
You wear a mask to protect me.
Let's all wear a mask.
To stop the spread of coronavirus.
And save lives.
When we show up in a mask,
we're showing up for each other.
Show your love for New York.
Because New York loves you.
Thanks to you.
Thank you for thinking of me.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
Let me say thank you to all you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Breathe deep. Breathe deep. Expand your mind and let the music be your driving force.
Enter a world of color and light.
And keep on thinking free.
The most eclectic mix of music.